So we're going to do some Gemara in Brachos. And last week, we explored the concept of Stam Mishnah, the idea that Rebbe sealed the Mishnayos with the opinion of Rebbe Meir. And now we're going to begin the Gemara. In our Mishnah, we learned Ad Kama Mezamnin, how much do you have to eat in order to have a Zimun? So the Stam Mishnah said, Kezayis, Rabbi Yehuda said, Kebeitza. And we saw that in other places it is quoted, the first opinion is Rabbi Meir's opinion, as the Gemara assumes it is Rabbi Meir's opinion. Yeah?
Two questions. First of all, didn't we say that Rabbi Yehuda is Rosh HaMadaber?
Yeah.
So why would a Stam come before Rabbi Yehuda?
Rosh HaMadaber Mikol Makom, Rashi explains, is not in our Mishnayos, but rather when they convene in the Beis Medrash.
Ah.
We'll okay. See that at the end of Maseches Brachos.
Okay, and then two, why is a Stam Mishnah always, like, why did he make it that a Stam Mishnah is always according to the opinion of Rebbe Meir?
There are two reasons, and I'm not sure if they go hand in hand. One reason that's quoted, Rambam writes, Rabbi Meir was very talented at saying things very short and accurate. So he took Rabbi Meir's version of Mishnah and used it as the baseline to work off of. Then there's another opinion. Again, the two are not mutual of another. They complement one another. The other opinion is that Rabbi Meir was so big that if they had to choose one basic opinion that we go with in Torah Shebaal Peh, it was Rabbi Meir's. Wherever necessary, we brought other opinions. But his Masorah was so accurate, and he was such a big Talmid Chacham, that he was the baseline.
Even though Rabbi Yehuda was Rosh HaMadaber?
That's a question of why that has any halachic weight, because the way the Gemara and Shabbos portrays it, that was a Roman institution. The question is, why did the rabbis even give it any credence? You see, the rabbis did. That's why I quote you the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Sheker Achin Vev Layovi, Shai Rat Hashem Hititala, that's the door of Rabbi Yehuda. Mm-hmm. Why is it called the door of Rabbi Yehuda? If you have Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the same door, you have so many other Gdolim who are his contemporaries, why is it called his door? So it sounds like Chazal did give credence to him being Rosh HaMedabrim Bechol Makom. Okay. So now we have to ask a few basic uncomfortable questions. Okay, question number one. When we say that a shir, achila, is a kezayis, so I assume you guys already learned the Gemara that says that's halacha l'moshe misinai. Right? Or you guys didn't go in order. Okay. So we have to ask, where did the shiurim come from? All the shiurim we work with. Are they d'oraisa? Are they d'rabbanan? Where did they come from? The Halacha Moshe Misinai. So, one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch is called the Prima Gud. He is printed in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. Could be they need it. So, the Prima Gud, printed in the back, wrote two commentaries. He wrote a commentary on the Taz, Turei Zahav, called Mishpitzos Zahav. And he wrote a commentary on the Magen Avraham called Eishel Avraham. Okay? Now, he wrote an introduction to his commentary on Shulchan Aruch. The introduction is called Peticha HaKolelet, the encompassing introduction. You see the small print? You see how many pages it is? It's really a book in its own right. It's this many pages, all tiny, tiny, tiny print. Today they put it out in a very nice print. I have it as a big fat book. Fantastic book. Now, in the Peticha Kolelet, what he does is he covers many topics, but he begins by making an order of the mitzvos. What are the weights of the mitzvos? You remember we spoke 2 weeks ago that logic precedes Torah? The idea that Lama Likras Varahu, if it's logical, what do I need a pasuk for? Okay, which has more weight? Halachal Moshe Misinai, or a Din D'oraisa, an Aseh or a Lo Taseh. which punishment carries more weight. So he goes through from the most basic questions, and he builds his way up. Tariag mitzvos includes sheva mitzvos menoach, or there are tariag plus seven equals keter. Tzemachok shvishon. There are the things he goes from the most basic concepts onward. So one of the questions is, where do we put halachah Moshe Mitzrayim? The next question we're going to ask is, when Chazal gave us a shiur, where did that shiur come from? And our sugya is going to revolve around that to some degree. This is one of the sources to that question. When Chazal tell us, on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat a kakotevet. If you want to bench the oraisa, you have to eat a kezayis. Where did that come from? That's a din d'oraisa. They had a masorah halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. Or, like the Meiri writes and the Tosus HaRash writes, Shi'aru Chachamim, Chazal gave a shir. They evaluated and gave us a shir. Where is it the Chazal that gave us the shir? Where is it the Torah and the Masorah that gave us a shir? So let's begin our sugya, and as we learn the Gemara, let's pay attention to what the Gemara is telling us. Is the Gemara saying that this concept comes from the Torah? Is the Gemara saying this concept comes from Rabbanan? And the differences are going to be obvious, right? The nafkamina. So let's begin. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir said that in order to bench, you have to eat a kezayis. Rabbi Yehuda said, you have to eat a kebetza, that's the volume of an egg. In Taharos, the Mishnayos go into how you estimate that olive and that egg. We're not going there today. Let's begin. Lememra. The Gemara asked, you mean to say, the Rabbi Meir choshiv le kezayis, that Rabbi Meir is important to him a kezayis. Important to him. The Rabbi Yehuda kebeitza, and Rabbi Yehuda gives importance to the volume of an egg. V'ha ipicha sham inan lehu, but we heard them say the exact opposite. Titinan. For we learn in the Mishnah, in Psachim, the Mishnah says like this. The Mishnah says, if a person was going to shecht his Korban Pesach, and he remembered that he has to go back, that he still left chametz at home, so if he can go back, he should go back, if he can make it in time. What happens if he won't make it in time? Being that midoraisa, it's enough to do bitul. It's a takana drabanan to burn it. Midoraisa, it's enough that you annul it. So then he can annul it in his heart. Then the Mishnah says, v'chein. What does the word v'chein mean? The word v'chein means lozu afzu. Not only the din I told you until now, but even the following chiddush, whenever we see v'chein, if we're learning in depth, we have to look into why is this a bigger chiddush than the preceding halacha. V'chein, in the terminology of the Mishnah, the Gemara, even in the Rambam, means lozu afzu. Not only what I told you until now, but even the following, meaning I'm about to tell you something which is a bigger chiddush than what I told you earlier. So whenever you see the word v'chein, you have to stop and analyze. Why is this a bigger chiddush than the preceding sentence? V'chein, and even, right? You would translate it as, and even, not and also. Even what I'm about to say, mi sheyatza mirushalayim, someone who exited Yerushalayim. We'll have to define what the word Yerushalayim means, right? I don't know what it means. V'nizkar, and he remembered, Shaya biyado b'sar kodesh, that he has in his hands holy meat. You're not allowed to take kodshim kalim outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Im avar tzofim, if he passed tzofim. What is tzofim?
Tzofim.
Oh, so Rashi says tzofim is makom shecholirot beit hamikdash. So Rashi learns that tzofim is not the place tzofim. There are two opinions in the Rishonim. We find there was a place named Tzofim. We also find that Tzofim means the place you can see from. Now, the Rishonim comment that We have other Mishnayot and Braitot that discuss the place Tzofim. But when they discuss Tzofim, so they discuss the parameters on the north, on the south, on the east, on the west. And Tzofim is one example. And then you're given the parameters on every other side where the limits are. And that's why the Rishonim say, that's why you have to say the word Tzofim is not the name of the place Tzofim, because if it were, then the Mishnah over here should have given you the other parameters, as it does in Ma'aser Sheni, as it does in other places when it gives parameters. So that's why the other Rishonim give a long explanation as to what Rashi said in one sentence. A place that you could see the Beit HaMikdash. So, Sorefo Bimkomo. So if you pass Tzofim, if you're far enough away that you don't see the Beit HaMikdash, you just burn it wherever you are. The Im Lav, but if you did not pass Tzofim, Chozer, he goes back to Jerusalem, the Sorefo Lifnei Abira, and he burns it in front of the palace. That needs its own definition. What's the place called Lifnei HaBira? Why is the Beit HaMikdash suddenly called Bira? And what place is Lifnei HaBira? So that, if we were learning Pesachim, we'd go into that. Me'atzei HaMaracha, from the special wood, the head of the Maracha. Then the Mishnah asks, okay, you told me two dinim. You told me, if you left your house to go bring a Korban Pesach, and you suddenly remembered you have chametz at home, go back and burn that chametz. If you won't make it, you don't have to. If you're within the range of Tzofim, go back and burn your kudshin. If you pass Tzofim, you don't have to. Okay, so let's say you're within the range of Tzofim. Let's say you're within the range that you could go home and burn your chametz. Ad kamahem chozrim. In these instances, how much chametz do you have to leave over in order to go back? Your son says, Mommy, I left a Cheerio on the kitchen table. Oh, you're right, I saw that Cheerio. One Cheerio, do I have to now go back? Travel back? I can make it in time. I'll make it in time to bring my Korban Pesach. I have to go back for one Cheerio? How much do I need to have in order to go back for the chametz? And I can't do bittul b'leiv. How much kudshin do I need to have? Suddenly I see the kid is holding a tiny piece of meat in his hand. I say, what's that? He says, it's from the Korban. Do I have to go back to the Beis HaMikdash to burn it? How much is the minimum volume? Rabbi Meir Omer, zeh v'zeh b'kabeitza. Rabbi Meir says, both instances, you have to have the volume of an egg. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir said a kezayis. Rabbi Yehuda omer, zeh v'zeh b'kezayit. Rabbi Yehuda says, both instances, you have to have a kezayis. So here we see that in order to obligate a person to do something, in order to have a chashivus for what he has left over, Rabbi Yehuda gave chashivus to a kezayis, Rabbi Meir to a kebeitza, the exact opposite from our Mishnah. Now, this sugya at this point seems to be yelling that this is their opinions, that this is all drabanan. Okay? And then if benching is drabanan, so then we have to ask, wait, but we're dealing with the oraisa here, benching. No, the shear is drabanan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So along comes Rabbi Yochanan. Who is Rabbi Yochanan? Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan is the first generation of Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan was extraordinarily beautiful, and he has tremendous halachic weight. He is the same generation as Rav and Shmuel. We know that Rav and Shmuel were both disciples of Rebbe, right? Rav tried getting smicha from Rebbe. Finally, his uncle Rabbi Chia got him smicha yore yore, not yodin yodin, and then he was sent out to Babel. Shmuel was Rebbe's doctor. You guys know what I'm saying?
No.
No, okay. Shmuel was Rebbe's doctor. Shmuel was a top astronomer. He was a top doctor. And every time Rebbe tried giving him smicha, it wouldn't work out. Shmuel said to Rebbe, I saw that book, Seder Doros. I saw the book of Adam Arishon, of who would get which type of rulership in this world. And it says, I'm going to be your doctor. I'm not going to get smicha from you. So it's not going to work. So Shmuel Yarchino, Shmuel, who was the master of the stars, he knew stars very well. Shmuel was also the doctor of Rebbe, but he never got smicha. When we have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, so the halacha is like Rav be'isure, in issues of iser and what's aser and mutter. Halacha is like Shmuel in monetary matters. Rav Yochanan outweighs both of them. Rav and Rav Yochanan halacha like Rav Yochanan. Shmuel and Rav Yochanan halacha like Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan is a very big weight in halacha. That's Rabbi Yochanan the Amora. Okay? So Rabbi Yochanan has this question. Answers Rabbi Yochanan, Mukhlefet Hashita. Switch around the opinions. Now that's something we don't usually do. So now we'll go on a tangent, but I just need a cup of water. We'll continue in a second. Okay. So now Rabbi Yochanan says Mukhlef Tashita. Okay. Torah Shebaal Peh is from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The Gemara in Brachos Tafhei tells us that when it says in the end of Parshas Mishpatim, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, come up to the mountain. Oh, we could turn to Tafhei Amarach. Come, see the Gemara inside. You have a Gemara in Brachos in front of you. So let's look at Tafhei Amarach. The Gemara says, just before the lines get a little bit wide, what does the Torah mean when it says that Nolicha Hashem tells Moshe, come up the mountain and I will give you et luchot ha'evin v'atorah v'amitzah shekatavti lorotam. Come, I will give you the luchos of stone and the Torah and the mitzvah that I have written, asher kasavti lorosam, that I have written to teach them. Luchot elu aseret ha'dibrot, the luchos, we're talking about the Ten Commandments. Torah is a mikra, that's all Tanakh. Mitzvah is a mishnah. Mitzvah means Moshe Rabbeinu received mishnah. Asher katavti elu nevim uktuvim, lehorotam ze gemara. Melamed shekulam ninun Moshe Sinai. Moshe at Sinai received Torah, Tanakh, Mishnah, Gemara. So, the Master Vitri explains in his introduction to Pirkei Avos, Moshe Rabbeinu did not receive the Nevi'im Ksuvim the way we have them written. It means every concept that we would meet up with in Nevi'im Ksuvim is not a new concept. That's what the Gemara says in a few places, in Moed Katan and other places. Gemara Gemirila, the concept they had on Masorah, Vasa Yechezkel, and then Yechezkel came along, and Asa Mechei Akra, he gave it a Pasuk. Meaning, Yechezkel didn't teach new concepts. Yeshaya didn't teach new concepts. That's why the Nevi'im are called Divrei Kabbalah, because their words with the concepts they taught were on Masorah until they came along. So far, so good? So Torah, that's Tanakh, and also Mishnah and Gemara. There was some kind of Mishnah and Gemara from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu.
But by the time of Moshe, the porn never happened, or any
right?
Nonsense ever happened.
So that wasn't written, but the concept that there was yet to be a war with Amalek, which would be written, that's Ksav Zosikaron B'Sefer. Right, the Gemara Darshan's Adam Asorah, something was yet to come. Whether Hallel was written in the version that we have Hallel, or there was a concept that you'll say Hallel, it's not the point. The point is the concepts existed. The exact wording of Divrei Yeshayahu V'Namotz weren't written. But the concepts that Yeshayah speaks about kindness and mercy and treating your fellow man, Ki tira arom v'chisito, u'mibsachal titalam, you see someone naked, give him clothing. Don't ignore your family members. That's a concept that existed from Moshe. Yeshaya gave it a pasuk. Yechezkel's psukim about Hilchos Avelus. Okay, from the days of Moshe we knew about mourning. Okay? The concepts existed. Now, Torah Shebaal Peh is evolving, right? New questions come up, new takanos. And then the Rabbanim sit down and they start organizing. And so in the days of Shammai and Hillel, they boil it down to 600 Sidrei Mishnah. Okay, in the days of Shammai and Hillel. And then Rebbe boils it down to six. He distills it to six. Whatever was in the 600 that doesn't go into the six is Tosefta. Everything else is bra, external, what we call braisa, the external quotes. The word bra means external. Okay, you have braisas. Everyone has traditions of thousands of braisas. And they're floating around. Along come Rav Chiya and Rav Hoshaya. And they sit down and organize the braisos. And they verify the correct girsan braisos. What do we gain from that? That every time it says Tanu Rabbanon, the rabbis taught, who are the rabbis? In the academy of Rav Chiya or Rav Hoshaya, they validated this braisa. So what's the difference between a regular braisa, a Tanu Rabbanon braisa, and a Mishnah? The difference is two things. One is its halachic weight, in the sense of, would an Amora argue on it or not? Amoraim can argue on Tanaim, but if it's quoted in a Mishnah or in a validated Braisa, then they're not likely to. They wouldn't want to argue with the Tanaim. Right? The second is How likely is the Gemara to do what the Gemara just did? To say, just scratch that. Different version. Let's do an editor's note. Switch the opinions here. You thought it was Rabbi Meir who said that. Switch Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Yehuda. So the rule is that the second the Braisa says Tanu Rabbanan, that means it went through a purification process. They validated it. The Gemara is very unlikely to do what the Gemara just did. To say, change the gears, Muflefes Ashita, you got it wrong. Either the Mishnah in Pesachim or the Mishnah in Bracha switched the opinions.
But wasn't this a Mishnah though, not a Braisa?
A Mishnah is even greater weight than a Braisa. My point is, even on Braisa, when it says Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara doesn't dare do that lightly. When it comes to Mishnah, Kol Shekin, right? That means it went through Rebbe's Beis Din. It went through Rebbe's Academy. And even so, you see the greatness of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan can come along and say, Mukhlefet Ashita, switch it around. So we have to understand that that kind of line on a Mishnah takes tremendous power. The Gemara doesn't like to do that. That's not something the Gemara would do, because what he's saying is, I know everyone's been learning the Mishnayos this way, you all got it wrong. I know the Shas, everyone, and all the Yidden and all over the world learn it this way. Okay, switch one of the Mishnayos. And he doesn't tell us which one. Abaye Yamar, Lolam lo teipuch. Boom! Abaye. Okay, so Abaye is a very late generation of Amoraim, right? Abaye is a disciple of Rabba and Rav Yosef. Abaye says, don't switch. We have a concept. Halacha kebasrei, the latter opinion wins. Because we assume the latter opinion saw the earlier opinion. And if he still chose to disagree, then he must have had a good reason. So that's why the latter opinion wins. Halacha kebasrei. There's a machlokas if that concept is throughout the Shas, or it's only from the generation of Abaye and Rava onward. So either way, Abaye says, Le'olam lo teipuch, you don't have to switch the opinions. Hacha bikroi plige, here they're arguing about psukim. Wait, so until here, what did I think they were arguing about? Not psukim. Meaning until now the Gemara understood, the argument revolves around choshiv. What do I give importance to? It's mashma that the Gemara until here understood these were all dinim drabanan. Where did Rabbanan make a takana? So in the Gemara, in Pesachim, it's obvious it's a drabanan. Because it's takanos drabanan, to go back and burn, to go back and burn your chametz. It's all a takanos drabanan. But what about my benching? My benching, it would seem, is a doraisa. But you saw, we already noticed at the onset of the sugya, the Gemara spoke about choshiv, he gives importance to. So the sugya until here sounded like it was drabanan. Ha-ha, Abaye says over here, bikroi plige. Their dispute revolves around kra, around psukim. Rabbi Meir savar, I don't know what that word means. Vachalta zo achila. Visavata zo shtia. Veachila bekezayit. You want to know how you eat? Kezayis. How did I know that? Now suddenly that's obvious. Notice how the Gemara switched from discussing zimun to discussing benching. And that's what we noticed in Tosvos. Tosvos said, and the Rashba said like Tosvos, that the sugya is not only talking about Zimun, it's also talking about benching. So Rabbi Meir holds, Vachalta means eat, Savata means drink, and then Uberachto, you will bench. The Rishonim ask, wait, if that's how Rabbi Meir learns the psukim, so according to that, after I drink, I'm chayav to bench midoraisa. What does Rabbi Meir say? V'chalta means eat, v'savata means drink, uverachtan, you will bless. So if that's pshat in the pasuk, then that means after you drink, you have to bench midoraisa. And in fact, many Rishonim over here learn that this is the source that after drinking wine, the bracha achron is doraisa. What's the drinking that it's talking about? It's talking about Eretz, Chita, Usora, Gefen, Teina, Rimon, Zeit, Shemen, Udvash. So that means after you ate date honey, you drank date honey, you drank wine, or you drank oil, your bracha achrona is Doraisa. This is the opinion of many Rishonim over here. And based on this opinion, the Chayei Adam writes that when you have a suffix in a bracha, me'ein shalosh, so you have a suffix d'oraisa. Because he holds it's a suffix d'oraisa whether bracha me'ein shalosh is d'oraisa. Because many Rishonim over here say, look at what it said. This is one of the sources for the opinion. This is one of the sources for the opinion that bracha me'ein shalosh is d'oraisa. So that was Rabbi Meir so far.
Why are you discussing only drinking? What about the salad? Suppose you eat an olive.
Well, if Shata, I'll explain. There's a question how to read the pasuk. Meaning, the pasuk initially describes the seven species, right? Eretz chitaus orav gefnu teina verimon. Eretz eichemen udvash. End of one pasuk. Seven species. Eretz asher lo v'miskenut tochal ba lechem, a land where you'll eat bread and not out of poverty. Eretz asher avanei barzel u'me'arorei tachtzov nechoshet. The land you'll be able to quarry all kinds of things from the land. You'll eat, you'll be satiated, you'll bless Hashem. What's v'achalta v'savata going on? So we'll see machlokas tanaim. Is it going on the lechem? And then only on bread do you have to make, is benching d'oraisa? That's what we assume. That only benching because the pasuk said seven species. And then it said you'll eat bread and not out of poverty. And then it says you'll eat and you'll bless. So that sounds like you'll eat what? The bread you just spoke about. So that's one opinion. The other opinion says, no, it's going back on all the species. So you have a machlokas, that's one machlokas. Here in our Gemara, the Gemara says, v'achalta v'savoto v'erachta, forget the bread. V'achalta means you'll eat. What will you eat? Maybe bread. Maybe pomegranates. You'll eat. Why do I say v'achalta isn't only bread? Because v'savata, according to Rabbi Meir, is drink. Now drink is not bread. So what drink? V'achalta v'savoto v'erachta. Yeah.
But we're not using this pasuk to learn about benching. We're learning about to learn what he felt was the amount that one needs to drink and eat.
In order to bench.
Well, in order to bench, but that's like
Tuffel. It's tuffel, but it still comes out of this sugya. You're right, it's tuffel. I just want you to notice, even though it's not the main point, that you do end up knowing that from this sugya. You're right, it's not the main point of the sugya. That's not what the sugya was coming to teach you.
Okay.
But as you read that, you should pay attention. You do come up with that halacha. It's a side point, you're right. But it has a lot of ramifications, that side point. You're not sure if you ate a kazayis of crackers, do you bench or not? Do you make an alamichya? We will see in a minute, a machloka is about how much you have to drink to make an after blessing. And that's also going to connect to what we're seeing now. Odrega, we'll see that, yeah.
Now, who did Abaye take Rabbi Yochanan for? I mean, Rabbi Yochanan, from what I understand, was much closer to the source to know that it was a derabanan. For Abaye to come in, I don't know, generations later, how can he say, like Rabbi Yochanan didn't know what he was talking about in terms of actually they, that they're really their sources were d'oraisa?
That's a great question, right? Let's finish the sugya, and then we'll come back to your question, okay? Very, very good question. You're saying, how could he say it's d'oraisa? Okay. Abaye amar lo lam lo teipuch. Abaye says, no, don't switch it around. Hacha, I don't know what that word means. Bikroi plige. Hacha means here. My point is, the rule when you learn is, if you don't know what that word added to your understanding, then you don't understand it. And if Abaye had to add the word ha-ha, then he's telling me something. It's here to the exclusion of something else. I'm not sure what he's trying to say when he says ha-ha. Bikroi pligi. The argument between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is not about svara, it's about psukim. Rabbi Meir sabba v'achalta zu achila. V'savata zo shtia, v'achila b'kisayit. Rabbi Yehuda savar, v'achalta v'savata, achila sheyesh basevi'a. Oh, you have to eat an amount that gives you satiation, v'ezu zu kebeitza. What type is that? That's the volume of Hakabeitza. So, Rabbi Meir holds you're satiated when you eat and drink. Rabbi Yehuda holds you're satiated when you eat the volume of an egg. In other words, what Abaye inadvertently teaches us is no one disagrees on the basic concept that the word achalta is a kazayas. It's not that Rabbi Yehuda gives a chashivas to a kabeitza, but really he doesn't agree that a kazayas is the important amount for eating. No, everyone agrees. Achila is b'kazayas. However, here Rabbi Yehuda says the word visavata teaches you it's a kabeitza. Hasam, over there in Psachim, b'svara pligi. Their argument revolves around the svara. Rabbi Meir savar chazarato ketumato. Ma tumato bekabeitza, af chazarato bekabeitza. Just like food, the meat that you ate is only tamei when it has the volume of a kabeitza, so too you only go back on a kabeitza. Rabbi Yehuda savar chazarato kisuro. Ma isuro bekezait, af chazarato bekezait. Just like the iser is in a kezayis, so too, you go back for a kezayis. So, we're going to have to go into all this, but first of all, you should know Machlokas Rashi, Tosfos, and all of Shas. Tosfos holds that food can become tamei, tumaso bekebeitza. That means less than a kebeitza, the food doesn't become tamei. Rashi holds, food becomes tamei with a crumb. The idea that food doesn't have a tuma until a kebeitza means food does not give over tumah until it's the volume of a kebeitza. But food itself can become tamei in a crumb. This is a machlokas Rashi Tosfos and all of Shas. Keeps repeating itself. Non machlokas Rashi Tosfos. When we say the tumah of food is only in the volume of an egg, does that mean it does not become tamei in less than an egg? Or does that mean it does not transmit tumah when it's less than the volume of an egg? Okay, two opinions. So far so good? Yes? Okay. For next week, first of all, I suggest you review what we learned. And after you have it down pat, so then I suggest you learn the Rashba on this. But before you learn the Rashba, take a look at the Mishnah in Psachim. The Mishnah in Psachim has one more sentence that the Gemara omitted. The Gemara quoted Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and when you look in Psachim, you'll see that there's a continuation to the Mishnah that the Gemara left out. An interesting continuation. Let's begin Tosfos. I need. Okay, so for next week, why don't you prepare for us on Rabbi Yochanan?
Rabbi Yochanan.
You do some homework on who was Rabbi Yochanan. And
good old Reish Lakish.
You'll do homework on Abaye, Mr. Goodman.
Goodbye.
You'll give us a summary of who Abaye was. You could take the Sefer Seder Doros and start there, both of you, saying. Now, we're going to start Tosfos. So, we said for next week, look over the Mishnah in Psachim, look over the Rashba and the Sugya. Brief introduction. Rashba began as a businessman, and then he became the chief rabbi in Barcelona. He was good friends with the Rosh, when the Rosh ran away from Germany. The Tsar threatened he would put him in jail after his Rebbe, the Maharam of Rutenberg, died in jail. So the Rush ran away to Spain, and he became very good friends with the Rashba. The Rashba was a disciple of the Ramban and Rabbeinu Yonah. He learned by both of them. The Ramban and Rabbeinu Yonah were also very good friends. We have letters going back and forth from one to the other. The Rashba was the rabbi in Barcelona. He knew a lot about the law and the science of the times. And he was considered from the top rabbis of his time, even though it was a period of Rishonim. The Rishonim looked up to the Rashba. The Rashba wrote Tshuvos and a commentary on Shas. And there was a beautiful edition of the Rashba that came out 20 years ago, and then they went belly up. The printing company Oraita. And they put out this beautiful Rashba.
It did sell, huh?
Oh, it did sell. I don't know. I think they had a fire in the warehouse or something. And what they did in this beautiful edition of the Rashba, the binding wasn't so good, right? What they did in this beautiful printing is, just their introduction is worth reading, is they have amazing footnotes, and they wrote in the back, Shelos and Tshuvos in the order of the Daka. They collected from the Rashba's Tshuvos in the order of the Masechet. So, what we need, though, is the Rashba in our sugya. If you want to borrow this Rashba, you could. Just bring it back next week. So, you have a Rashba?
Why are we looking at the Rashba?
Because among the Rishonim, he really summarizes the sugya. He summarizes the points and the opinions in the sugya. The Rashba was a later Rishon. We're talking about post-Rambam. So, he was a Talmud of the Rambam. Now, on the Rambam, the Rava Magid, the Magid Mishneh, often quotes the Rashba. The Rashba's way into Shulchan Aruch is primarily through the Rava Magid, through where the Magid Mishneh quotes him on the Rambam. However, in our sugya, he is the, of all the Rishonim, he's the one that summarizes the opinions, to my mind, the most. So we'll begin Tosfos. Ve'omer Hari. Rabbi Meir Savar, Ve'achalta Zo Achila, Ve'savata, Ve'achila Bekezayit, Ve'omer Hari, Dehanei Kroi, that these psukim, Asmachta Be'alma Ninu. These psukim are simply an asmachta. Demidoraita ba'inan sviya gemura. Even according to Abaye, our whole sugya here is a din derabanan. It's not a din doraisa, says Tosfos. Because the really, in order to be chayav in benching, you have to be completely satiated. V'chalta v'savata, that's a very nice drasha. However, the halacha, says Tosfos, is until you're satiated, you're not chayev in benching doraisa. The Torah says, v'achalta v'savata. You have to be full. And Tosfos here, Rabbi Meir.
So he's addressing my problem.
Okay.
Yeah?
On some level, yeah. Okay. V'omer Ari, you have it, Mr. Goodman. Dehane kroi asmachta be'almaninu. That these psukim are simply an asmachta. Midoraita ba'inan sviya gemura, that midoraita you require a complete satiation. Ki de amar perek mishemeito, as the Gemara said earlier, v'chilo esapanim, etc. Where the Gemara says, look at them, the Jewish people, even though they have to be satiated. The Gemara over there says, the malachim ask, kisa Hashem panav eilecha. They say, Rabon Shalom, how can you play favorites to the Jewish people? So the Rabon Shalom answers, how could I not play favorites? I told them they only have to bench after they're satiated. I said, v'achalta v'savata. And they're careful to bench after they ate a kazayas or a kabeitza. So Tosa says, what's their Ribbono Shel Olam answering there? From that Gemara, it sounds like their Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, they're not chayav from the Torah till they're satiated. But look at them. They bench even after a kazayas or a kabeitza. So that certainly sounds like it's not a doraisa. V'chen amrinan hasam, the Gemara also says over there, ben mevarech le'aviv, a son can bench for his father. So the Gemara asks, how could a son bench for his father? The son is only chayv midrabanan, the father is chayv midoraisa. Umukim la, the Gemara over there says, it's talking about a scenario, b'man de'achil shiura drabanan. It's talking about someone where the father was not chayv doraisa. Tosa says, how so? He had a kazayis, he had a kabeitza. That means there is an eating that's dirabanan. Upirsh Rashi himself over there explains, Hainu kazayis o kabeitza. The old, so third proof says Tosos ikazayis o kabeitza avi doraisa is a sheer drabanan. If kazayis and kabeitza are doraita, so what's left for drabanan? So point one says Tosfos, all these psukim are asmachta. So when Abaye says bikroi plige, don't think it means it comes from the psukim. Really, it's still a machlokas midrabanan. However, it's an asmachta. So Tosfos's pshat is very difficult. Tosfos brings logical proofs from other sugyos, but in our sugyo, what does they mean bikroi plige? They're arguing about text. No, says Tosfos. Their argument is not about the text. The text is an asmachta. So that's a very difficult pshat. So there's a book.
Why is that difficult?
Because the wording of the Gemara, bikroi plige. Bikroi plige sounds like they're arguing about text.
Why didn't they argue about the asmachta brought by the text?
So we'll have to pick up here next week. Remind me, next week we'll start with a discussion of what is asmachta. And what is the system that Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam use when analyzing sugyos? If you can, try to finish Tosfos. The Rashba comes after Tosfos, and he quotes Tosfos. Okay, so this Tosfos, the second part of Tosfos, is a whole new question. How do we paskin? How do we paskin in this sugyo? That's the next question. So the first part of Tosfos we learned, and we're left with a question. Second part of Tosfos we'll pick up next week.